16, and I primarily want to teach tonight on verse 23, but we're going to look at verses 22 to 24 so that we can just gain the context of what Jesus is saying here. And it's in the context of where he's speaking about the work of the Holy Spirit, and he's speaking about preparing how he is going to the cross, that he is going away, but he will come back, he will return. And even though they will have sorrow, yet their sorrow will be turned into joy. And so we're taking it up from John 16, verses 22 to 24. John 16, 22 to 24. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Many teachings on this, and there are some who teach it, I believe, right, correctly, as the Holy Spirit inspires, and there are others who are teaching this wrongly. And it creates confusion, disappointment, despondency, and all the rest. But the Word of God, the purity of God's Word, is a deliverance. And we trust tonight that we're here to be delivered, to be changed and conformed yet more into the likeness of Jesus. And I'm calling this teaching tonight, You Will Receive. You Will Receive. And in verse 23, the key part of this is in which it says, and in that day you will ask me nothing. And the question we raise tonight is, when is that day? When is that day? A very good question. And is that day when you are born again? You become a new creation? Is it then? Is that day when you receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the signs of speaking in new languages, those tongues? Is it? Or is it when you're getting the word in you, getting it in your heart? That is, of course, the parable of the sower. Or is that day when you get a better prayer life, it's developed, getting closer to the Lord? Or is that day when you finally are resisting the powers of darkness and resisting the devil? These are all valid questions. Or is it the day when I am consecrated, I really am set apart to the Lord and so forth, and walking in His way, in His likeness? Or is it when I'm finally at that place where I can love and embrace even my enemy, whom in the natural I detest? All of these have a valid place, don't get me wrong. Or is it when I'm finally laboring in the vineyard and working for the Lord? When is that day? That is a question, because that is what he's raising here. That's what he's saying, and it's all in the context. He's going away and he's coming back, but he's going to come back. He's going to come back through the Holy Spirit. So there is something here that he's saying, and it's a small part of this, but it's something that is not addressed very often, as far as I'm aware. I believe it's when the Lord makes us one with the Father. Jesus' prayer, John 17. That prayer is being fulfilled. That prayer will be answered because Jesus prayed it. And I believe we are in restoration, in the fulfillment, the restoring, the finality, if you like, of Jesus' prayer. That prayer has echoed through every generation, and it doesn't change. And the Father has not turned his ears away from that prayer, for it will be answered. And I believe that that prayer is an indication and a sign of how the bride makes herself ready in the last days. Without that prayer that Jesus prayed, the bride will not be able to make herself ready, because it has to be answered. These are all correlations. They're all spiritual types, connections. And until the life of Christ is fully manifested in us, we still have many questions and things to ask for. And we are. And that is what he's addressing here. Most of us are coming to the end of asking, or asking why. We have done so up to now, all these years, walking with the Lord. I want to know why this has happened. I want to know why this happened to this brother or this sister, or why this trial I went through. I want to know. And that's nothing but the expression of pride. I want to know, and I tell you why we want to know, because we still want to be in control. And we want to be in control with our minds and our intellects, failing to understand that Christ says he's come back through the Holy Spirit, baptizing us in the Spirit, to renew our minds, that we would experience the mind of Christ. It's whether we're going to allow him to renew our minds, which means that we have to completely let go of everything, to the point that I know nothing unless it is revealed. And that is, if there's anything God is doing with us in this church, I can't speak for others, but only in this church, this assembly, that is what he's doing. And he's using trials, things that we go through, so that we come to a point where we're no longer going to ask, why is this happening? Why do I have to go through this? And all these things. We might not be saying that deliberately that way, but our actions or our attitudes are as good as saying it. That's the point. And so he's bringing us to the end. And there's a reason for this. Because you are coming to a total reliance, And this is the purpose of this, and what we're reading here in verse 23, that you are coming to a total reliance on the resurrection life of Christ, which brings us into complete oneness with God, with his purpose, and everything that he has. That is the aim of the Holy Spirit. That is why he has come back, to bring us into complete oneness with the Father, so that we are one with his purpose, his will, his aim, his vision, everything that he is, we are also as well. And we are to live this. It is not just some theological debate or talk. This is to be experienced, and this will begin to explain why you are going through what you are going through, and because God is bringing us one with the Father. This is why we cry out by the Spirit, Abba, Father. He's getting us to experience the Father's heart, his purpose, his will, his aim, his desire. So looking back in that verse, in verse 23, and he says, and in that day you will ask me nothing. In other words, in that day there may be still many things hidden from your understanding, but the good news is it doesn't come between your heart and God, even though you may not understand, even though you may not see it yet at the moment, because God sees into the heart. And this is why I said last week, and I know for some it was a tremendous deliverance, God yet hasn't touched your heart. That's why you're not yet in that place of faith. Now that should be a great deliverance from us, from condemnation, where we at times, yes, there is unbelief, and God will admonish us when there's unbelief, and we know, because we know how the Holy Spirit works. But I'll tell you what, the devil can get so vocal, and he's the one that condemns, and you think, well, I'm never going to come to that place. It's just impossible to believe. It's just, there's too many mountains. It's just crazy. Stop a minute. It could just be that you aren't yet in that place of faith, because God hasn't touched you yet. When God touches us, then you believe. And it is amazing how he does it. And that is how he touches us, by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. But I want to even take it a step further. It's being touched by his word in the inner man, in the heart. You have to be touched by God's word. Isn't it interesting that when Jesus arose from the dead and he appeared to the disciples, at first they didn't recognize him or whatever, but you hear, when he spoke, it says it's like his words burnt into the heart. There was something that just quickened and everything. And this is why the Bible says, God's sheep, hear my voice. It's because God touches us by his word, in the heart, in the inner man. And every time you receive those touches, they are touches of faith to believe. That is what they are in nature. And we must allow the Holy Spirit to do this. And all the while we are holding clutter in our minds, or wrong teaching, or whatever it is a hindrance to God touching us by his word in the inner man, in the spirit, in the heart. Hence the parable of the sower. And that is why we're under this deliverance. This deliverance for the Christian now simply means doors closed to our minds, so that we experience the mind of Christ. And this is why we get this wonderful analogy of when we are born again and become a new creation, and God is our Father, we totally just depend on him. The same as a child with its parents doesn't even question, doesn't even answer, just knows and expects and believes that the food will be there for for the child to be fed, protection will be there. They're not in any way concerned or bothered about those things that sadly we adults are. That is the simple faith he's getting us to. And all the while we have anxiety, and anxiety is often held with fear. It is a hindrance to our faith. And this is why your prayers aren't getting answered. This is why you are despondent. You ask yourself, does faith really work? Am I going to get delivered? Will we see healings? Will whatever it is? And is all this mulling away going on inside us, in our hearts and everything, until we get totally delivered from why? Why? Why didn't it happen? Why did it happen this way? And all the while we are still questioning, we are not going to receive. But the good news was where Jesus spoke here. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Until now you've asked nothing. You can't ask right. How can you ask for the right things? How can you be one with the Father all while there is still fear and anxiety and that desire to want to know everything? And until that's weaned out of us, we are not going to experience these great promises that we read. So in that day, there may still be many things hidden from us and from our understanding. But it doesn't affect our heart, because God looks to the heart, and thank God that he does. So that there are still many things that God wishes to reveal to us, but we can't take it yet. We can't see it yet. And until he is dealt with some of the major hindrances. And that is why God looks into the heart of man. And of course we have wonderful analogies of how God forgives. King David, of course, comes to mind. He wasn't understanding. If he understood, he wouldn't have committed adultery. He wouldn't have murdered. So we do these things because we don't understand. We're still carnal, we're still thinking logic, we're still allowing fear to govern our thinking, our mind, our discernments. But the Bible says there is no fear in the perfect love of God. So we are in this tremendous transformation and change. And it's wonderful how God still sustains and holds us. Even then we still don't understand things. He still meets with us each day, each hour, each moment, where we are at the level of our faith. What a loving Father. What a loving Father. Only God can do that. This is why when you think of God's grace and mercy, it just boils you over. You have no words. And if we've been truly touched like that, then we too love one another and have that same mercy and compassion towards others and so on. You cannot help but express if you are being touched by the power and love and mercy of God. That's what it's all about. And you know, brothers and sisters, we're coming to that place where you won't need to ask, because the time he has worked with us, you will be certain that God will reveal things in accordance to his revealed will. And there's coming a time when you won't need to even ask, because you are so one with him, you know what is revealed to you, what the Father's heart and desire is. You won't have to question, you won't have to ask, you won't have to keep searching, and all the vexation that can go with it. He's bringing us into a complete and total rest of faith with him. To the point that you don't have to ask. Why? Because you're hearing. That's why. And that's what Jesus is revealing here.
And in that day you will ask me nothing. Why? Because you're one with the Father, you're hearing, and therefore he can say most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it. Until now, you ask nothing in my name. They can't because they don't know yet. They've got to get delivered. Minds renewed, changed. They need to come to know the Father. But he says, you will, and ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. And there are a lot teaching that portion of Scripture in such a wrong way. There's no shortcuts to any of this. It is the way of the cross. It's free, but not cheap. And so many try to cheapen, and that's why they become despondent, and they believe they received in faith, and nothing happens. Because we waver. But you won't need to ask, because the time he has worked with us, you'll be certain, without doubt, without even doubting, that God will reveal things in accordance to his revealed will. You know, because you have heard it. And it's not voices. People have interpreted, oh well, God's got to speak. There is numerous ways that God speaks, but God speaks in the inner man, the spirit, the new nature, which is created in his image. That's where he'll speak first and foremost, and reveal and confirm every time. If God wishes to speak from heaven, then he will. He did at times with Jesus. But everything that he'll speak from heaven will be confirming what already he's already said. His revealed will, and that is the point. And he's bringing us to what it says in John 14 and verse 1. John 14 and verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. There is coming to a place where you will not be troubled. You will not be troubled in heart. You will not be questioning, why? Why is this happening? When is it going to be? When are we going to get delivered? When are we going to see it? All these things that we still bring before God. We might not be saying it in so many words, but sometimes our prayers can give it away. Our prayers of anxiety. If we don't know, then there's a reason. Let's rest in that, because there's a right time for everything. And God very often does, in his right time away, he will reveal at that right time. But he's working John 14, 1 in us, and that will be the attitude of our hearts. And therefore there are no more questions to be asked. If we've heard this tonight, brothers and sisters, there's no more questions to ask. None whatsoever. Now we can decide, we can choose to decide to believe that or not. Or you're going to still carry on questioning and arguing and bickering and falling out with God and don't like this, don't like that, why did that have to happen and so on. Or are we just going to completely rest and stop asking questions? I think that's one of the biggest deliverances for us, if we did but know it. And if there are questions and mysteries that are coming between you and God, never look for answers or explanations in your mind, but look to your spirit for the answers. That is the inner man. That is the true inner nature, where you've been born again. If God is going to speak, that is where he will speak to you. And that is what you look for. We're still looking for answers, and we want it through the intellect. Why? Because it feeds us. It still feeds pride, that independence of spirit. And it's easy that way. It costs a saint to hear God speak in the inner man, in the spirit, in the heart. But that's where we need to hear. That's what we're actually crying out for. That's where our faith works, when God speaks to us in the heart. And he's going to speak to you and to me and to each one of us, because it's a relationship with him. He will also speak corporately, the same as tonight he's speaking corporately to us, which he does through the gifts he sets into the church. But we take this away, we seek God, we pray on it, and God then will continue to communicate and speak to you personally, not in the mind, but in the heart, in the inner man. And the mind will interpret what God is speaking in the heart. It's not the other way round. Some of us have got it all wrong. We think God speaks to us through the mind. No, he speaks to us in our heart, in our spirit. This is what he's doing right now, this moment. This is why you find some hear and some don't. Again, I give that analogy. If we've got people on tonight, new people. Two people are walking on a railway line, and a train is coming, and a voice speaks out, the train is coming. One gets off the line, and the other doesn't. Now, the one that got off the line heard that voice. How did he or she hear? They heard in the heart, because it's in the heart your faith becomes active. Your faith is not active all the while it's a mental ascent. You're listening in the mind. Believe in the mind. You'll know the mind gives it away. So often, you get people who listen to a word and they're all built up with emotions and they can't wait. You know, they're all goosey bumps and all excited and everything. They've heard the word, I've got a deliverance and everything. Only to find a few days later, oh, I'm down again. Oh, I'm down in the dumps. Oh, it's not working and so on. And then they look for the next one. They get built up again. That is a clear sign you are still hearing in the mind. Now, I'm not saying that one doesn't get excited about the word and express about the word. Praise God for that. But the point is, did I hear in the inner man, in the spirit? Do I hear the spirit of the word, or the mere dead letter? It's a very subtle thing. And don't think that because we're members of Full Gospel Assembly that we're exempt of that. If our attitudes are not right, or not right with our brother or sister, or right with God, you're hearing in the mind, you're not hearing in the heart. Therefore, it's not doing that work. Therefore, faith can't be mixed, released with that which I hear. This was Israel's problem. God eventually called them a stiff-necked people because they refused to hear the word in their heart. And that's where God speaks. And so, if there are any answers or things or explanations, things that, yes, we are seeking God for or whatever, God will speak to you not in your mind, not even what you see, not even what you heard. He will speak to you in your spirit, in your heart. That is where he dwells. That is where the Godhead is in me, in that part of me that only God has and nobody else has, and that's where he dwells, that is where he speaks, and that is what I wait on to hear from God. And when you hear from God, when God is quickening you in the inner man, speaking to you, then your faith will act in accordance, and you can't doubt if you try. That's the rest of faith, my friends. And when you ask by faith, it will be made perfectly clear. There's no hit and miss in faith. You know, well, let's try it and let's act our faith in that sense. Jesus never tried to act his faith. Faith just acted. Faith just did it. He knew. He was so led by his father communicating in his heart, in the inner man, he just enacted what he was hearing, what was being said, what faith was expressing. He wasn't doubting one moment. When he walked on the water, he didn't doubt that. That's what God was showing. That's what his faith was acting. That's his circumstances. That's what he saw. And he just was doing it. Or when Lazarus was raised from the dead, thank you, Father, you've heard me. That's all he was. And that man came forth. And praise God, he mentioned Lazarus. Because if he didn't mention Lazarus, all the dead would come up, would rise up. There you go. Those were Jesus' words. Come forth, Lazarus. So he put that name there, because if he didn't put that name, they'd all be coming forth. All the dead in Christ. Or before Christ at that time. So there we are. You see, faith moves those mountains. But all the while you are looking at them, you are not yet sensitive to what God is saying. Because when we're one with the Father, we're not looking at those obstacles. They're trying, yes, to get in the way. They're trying to trip us up or do whatever they do. But we're one with the Father. We're being led by Him. That's what this is all about. And believe me, He's doing this, brothers and sisters. He really is. There will be no schism between you and God, because He has made you one with Him. You say to me, this sounds pretty fantastic. How can ever anything happen like this? Well, Jesus prayed it. And I said at the beginning of this teaching that God is going to answer Jesus' prayer in John 17. Let us just remind ourselves of some verses of which Jesus prayed here. You didn't pray it, He prayed it. Turn with me to John 17, and let's again look at verse 3. We've been looking at this over the last few weeks. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So that's eternal life. That's what He's prayed. That they may know you. And that word to know means an experiential knowing. Not just an intellectual knowing or just knowing theology. It's being touched by the Father. An experience. And then what does it read in verses 6 to 8? I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. And you can put your name there. It's not just the disciples, but that's all down through the corridor of time. The seed that Jesus was given through the Father. So, I have manifested, put your name there to me, whom you have given me out of the world, that were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. That is why you have a great love for the Word. Have you wondered why you love the Word and have sought that Word and sought it out for years until you found by the anointing the Word of God being preached and delivered to you? Have you wondered why? There it is. I've given them your Word. For I have given to them the words which you have given me. And they have received them and have known surely that I come from you, and they have believed that you sent me. All of those things, praise God, if we're new creation, we're doing likewise. And so it goes on, what he says there. And look also in verse 11. Now I am no longer in the world, But these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. Look what Jesus is praying there. All those you've given to me, as I'm one with you, that we may be one with them, and that they may be one with us. That's what this is all about, brothers and sisters. That's why you will receive. On the basis that Jesus prayed, you are one with God the Father. That is why. It's nothing to do about you, how good you are, how much you pray, how much you try and resist the devil, or how consecrated. All of those have a place. Don't get me wrong. It's because Jesus prayed that. That's why. It's all about the work of Christ in us, what he's doing. What does it say in verse 14? I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. That's why you don't fit into this world. And yet we still try to, don't we? We still want to befriend it. We still want to flirt with it. We still want to go along with it. But what has Jesus prayed here? Completely the opposite. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. That's what the world thinks of you. Don't be shocked. Don't be shocked when they persecute you. Don't be shocked when they lie and say all manner of things against you. Yes, even your own family. And I'm choosing my words carefully on that one. Because they are not of the world. Just as I am not of the world. That's what Jesus prayed there. How about verse 16 and 17? They are not of the world. Just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is true. So the word of God which we preach is separating us. It's telling us. It's separating us from the world, its ways, and trusting in the world and the arm of the flesh. We still run to the arm of the flesh because yet we still don't yet understand. We haven't been touched yet. But do you want God to touch you? Do you want God to touch you in every area so you don't trust in the world or the arm of the flesh anymore? If you're a true overcomer, you have no hesitation saying, yes, amen. Do it, Lord, whatever it takes. And he will, because Jesus prayed that prayer, and the Father's answering it. Finally, verses 21-23. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. What is he praying there? A lot of them just see about love, unity, fellowship. Yes, it is that, and vitally important. But he says, I pray that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. So he's speaking of the oneness that he had with the Father, and the Father had with him. He's praying that same prayer for that oneness, which means that we walk and talk and live and do the same as Jesus. And Jesus turned the world upside down. That the world may believe that you sent me. It is our oneness with God that the world believes. They do not believe in man trying to build an empire, a denomination, through his religion. That is not the way the world believes. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. So it's not only a unity and oneness that we walk one with God, but also we experience His glory. Wow. That His name is glorified. So that means that God will manifest the works of God the Father through us to glorify His name. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as I have loved you. There's nothing there about us striving, trying to evangelize, trying to witness, trying to build a ministry, trying to do good to what good works or whatever it is. Nothing at all. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in this oneness which he speaks about, and that the world will know it. We don't have to do a thing except believe and walk in it. The world will know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. The world will also know, because God will use the devil. God will use demons, because they won't do nothing but they have to speak out. They won't be able to stand it, because their darkness will be exposed. That'll advertise it in itself. Very often it did with Jesus' ministry. It got round as quick as anything when demons manifested and so on. So you don't have to do a thing except walk in relationship in that oneness and unity with God. That's why this whole walk is not about doing but being before Him. Faith never receives from the mind, the intellect. It receives in the heart and the oneness that we have with Christ. That is the only way you are going to receive faith and have a faith that is active, a faith that believes, a faith that will receive in accordance to John 16 verses 22-24. It is a faith where I receive the revelation, the touch of it in my heart. If I am receiving this teaching tonight in the intellect, in the mind, I am not going to understand this. I can say all the right things, but I am never going to experience what this teaching is about. But Jesus said, you will receive. And he's confident with that, because he's prayed that prayer in John 17. And even though you may be struggling tonight, oh, Pastor, I hear you will receive. Stay with it, brothers and sisters, because you will. If you are part of Jesus' prayer, and you are of his seed, and you are hearing his word, you will receive. That my joy may be full. He will do it. He won't deny us. He won't turn us away. We will receive and have the confidence, because the Father's affections, his desires, what he's doing will be ours, and vice versa, because we're in complete unity and oneness with him. We know what he wants. We know what he's saying. We know at this point what he wants to do. I am hearing from him. And I receive it not from the mind, the intellect, but from the heart, the inner man. The new birth, that new spirit that he's given me, that is where he speaks. And if any audible voice you hear, then God can use that to simply confirm what he has already said or is saying. And that's how you test. That is how you test the spirits in 1 John 4. You test the spirits because if it is of the Holy Spirit, it is confirming what the Spirit is already saying, or what the Spirit is saying to the church, or what the Spirit is saying to me. It is a confirmation. If it cuts across, you reject it. You leave it. You don't question it. You don't flirt with it, you leave it where it has come from, and you carry on simply seeking the kingdom of God. But sadly, we find, as I close now, that many take on deceiving spirits because they still want questions, answers in the mind, the intellect. And Satan will give it because he comes like an angel of light. But that is how you will test, brothers and sisters. And that is why Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, because they hear it in the heart. Father, tonight again, we thank you for your precious word. Lord, we all had need of hearing this. Father, you are answering a lot of questions in your mercy and grace. You are showing us where we have got it wrong, where we thought it was faith, where we thought we prayed in faith. But Lord, you have brought each one of us in many ways to the end of ourselves, actually showing that a lot of our prayers are what we thought is faith. Nothing's come of it at all. But there's a reason. And I believe you're speaking. You're telling us, Father. And Lord, I thank you that even where we still don't understand, where we're still yet not in faith, it's because you haven't yet touched us. But you will, because we've already read it in John 17. And we believe that Jesus' prayer, his priestly prayer, is being fulfilled and answered. And I and each one of us are part of that. And so, Father, tonight, thank you for our fellowship. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, how you have ministered Jesus to us. Lord, we are truly grateful. Father, even though there may be few of us, yet, Lord, we are being changed and conformed into the image of Christ. Christ in us, the hope of glory, and we look to none other. So I pray you'll be with us, bless us, preserve us and keep us till we assemble again, because we ask this now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Victory, and Jesus. has redeemed.